It's time to hit In the Shop with Steve, Kirk, Brian, and Dan.
I've been driving all night, my hands wet on the wheel.
In the Shop, your source for the latest information and advice on maintaining and repairing your vehicle on KGMI Newstalk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and KGMI.com. KGMI and the Cascade Radio Group receive financial compensation to present this program in its entirety. Opinions and information expressed are those of the host and or sponsors and do not necessarily reflect those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
Good morning. You're in the shop with the Auto Guys. I'm Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive, here with Kirk from Angler Automotive. Good morning, Kirk.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Pretty nice out there.
Oh, man.
It's tough being here. You got to go to work.
Yeah, I got to work today.
Yeah, well.
Play catch up there.
I'm going to do house stuff.
Yeah.
Work on the house.
Awesome. Well, you're putting new floors in, right? Is today Florida?
I'm fixing up the shop tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yes. So, anyway, well, if you're sitting at home and you want to call in today would be a good day.
It would be.
The number is 676-5464, and we're taking any calls that you want to ask us any questions. Kirk's here to answer them all.
Well, I've got a...
You were up and at it, so you should be sharp and ready for calls.
Well, yeah, I am. Actually, our producer just sent me a little text. He tells me when it's time to take a break here on my phone. And it says, my farmer friend used his stimulus to buy baby chickens. He got his money for nothing and his chicks for free.
I saw that. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Maybe we should use that for a lead-in for when we come back from a break. There, Randy, if you're listening.
Yeah, I'm sure he's listening. Anyway, well, we chatted before the show, and we kind of talked about what your toolbox looks like today compared to what it did 20 years ago.
Oh, man.
It's 30
years ago.
30 years ago.
Oh, my
sorry.
God, 30 years ago.
30.
Yeah.
It's a little different. Yeah.
It is. It really is.
Yep.
You want to take this? Oh, wait,
I want you to. I don't have tools. I'm the guy that works.
That's right.
I work in the shop for free, remember?
You've been the man that's supplied us with the parts through the years.
I have. I've helped you out.
Yeah.
I sold you a hoist.
That's right.
I did.
Did I buy my... That was my second hoist I bought from you guys.
Yeah, you bought it on the day that I left.
Okay.
I bought it.
That's right.
I got it for you, and then
I
put in my notice.
Working up at Holly's CarQuest back in the day.
Yep.
Yeah. And then you were just moving over to John's shop.
Yeah, to the shop.
On Elm Automotive.
It's my only
and
move.
And you were the parts guy
it's
there.
It's my only move. I've only
that
moved
was.
Once.
That's, you know, I little note to if there's any young people out there that are just beginning their careers right now, little footnote you might want to consider is when you find yourself a job, mm-hmm. you're going to... It used to be you'd start out at the bottom of the totem pole, mm-hmm. you know. I don't know if that still applies anymore. Doesn't seem like it. But anyway, you start out at the bottom, and you're kind of going, man, this sucks because I don't make any money, and I'm worth so much more, and yada, yada, yada. And my boss makes me do things that I don't want to do, and I just want to get out there and do what I was trained to do. Well, that's fine, but stick with it. And if you stick with it for a long time, you know, 5 years, 6, 10, whatever, and you invest yourself into the company and you move up the chain of command.
You do.
And that's the way it works. I've known people through my life that had started out, you know, I had a buddy of mine that got out of the tech school. It was a tech school back then.
Mm-hmm.
And he worked someplace for a year and decided, I'm not making enough money, quit, go work for another place at the bottom of the totem pole. Work about a year, not making the money wants to do, stop, quit, do it again and again and again. He was always in that lower echelon or whatever you want to call it, the lower rung. And, you know, it took forever for him to finally decide, you know, I just tell him, stick with it, man. It's a good place to work.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, after years, he finally stuck with it and went up the ladder. So just don't be in a hurry. Just, you know, you got lots of time. You're 20, 25 years old. Got lots of time to move
lots
up
lots of time, yeah.
Focus on what you're doing. Do a good job. Be honest about it, and you'll be fine. So there's
what was your first job?
My first job?
Yeah.
My first official job was busboy at Swanee's Mexican-American restaurant down in Aberdeen, Washington.
There you go.
It was great. They had a. They also did ice cream parlor. They had an ice cream parlor there. They had this thing called the Mount Rainier, I don't know what it was called, the Everest or something, 50 scoops of ice cream. And this colossal, it was a mountain. Oh, that was boy. The big thing, you know, for birthday parties and stuff when we were little kids. And we are so off track here.
We're going to talk about toolboxes. It's all good. Let's talk about your toolbox.
All right. Well, so I remember, okay, back when I started, got into the, and I went to the Bellingham Technical College now. But back in, I think, 83, 84, 85 is when I was there, or whatever. And 2 years, somewhere around there. And I didn't have very many tools. I had a few tools, but not much. And so when you started with the, you sign up, pay your money, and then they give you the things that your tool list. You had to buy tools.
Right.
And they had a minimum tool list. And I remember... back in the day, Snap-on Tools would come to the school and try to sell you stuff. Matco Tools, I think Mac did as well. And then they had the Sears Craftsman people come out. The Snap-on stuff was around $3,000, $3,500 for the starter kit. Matco and Mac were about, you know, $2,500 to $3,000. I remember paying like $370 some for my Craftsman starter kit.
Yep.
And I had a couple of, I don't recall, I didn't have a rollaway. I had boxes of tools that I'd have to pack around all the time and pile them up on the benches. And the majority of my tools at that time were standard wrenches.
Right.
You know, standard sockets and all that. And I worked with those, and then I graduated finally and started working in the industry professionally. And that was, you know, mid-80s, and more metric was coming out. And so I started buying some Snap-on tools, and a little sticker shock. I remember I bought a set of box-end wrenches. There was 5 wrenches in this kit. There was a 10, 11 12, 14, 13, 15, 16, 18, 17, 19. And I paid about $180 back in 1986 for these things. And I, you know, I was blown away by it. Weird thing, a couple years ago, Snap-on guy comes into the shop and he's like, hey, you know, buy this set of wrenches. They're on sale. Buy them set of wrenches, and we'll put you in, sign you up, and give you a raffle ticket to win some fabulous prize. I think it was like a trip on SpaceX or something like that. But nonetheless, I'm like, well, that's fine. I've already got a set of these, and I really don't want to go into outer space. How much are they anyway? Or they're on sale for $299. And I'm like, $299? $300? Are you kidding me? And he's like, yeah, they're regularly about $350 for this set of tools. You know, and I'm still using 3 of those wrenches that I bought years ago. I'm still using the same wrenches. They're not worn out. I've had the other ones replaced free. Up to that point, you know, I've got my tools insured. And I had my tools insured for what I thought was the replacement cost of about $200, for example, for that set of wrenches. And I always thought, man, if I ever had to have a fire sale, I could sell these babies for $100 in a heartbeat. Well, as it turns out, I could sell these tools for like $250. I can sell them for more than I bought them for years ago. Someone's got a smoking deal, and you got lifetime warranty on it. So anyway, but that was just, you know, the expense of the tools was just crazy. And you know, my tools at the shop, I've had them, you know, I had them insured for about $75,000 for my hand tools and things like that. I've got them insured for $200,000.
Well, yeah, it's
because it's insane.
It's changed. And then you're, so, I mean, not only the hand tools
that you have. Just the hand tools is crazy. But then, yeah, and then the technology. I remember first scan tool we bought. I was working for Trotner, and him and I went halvers on it, and I think we bought an old OTC 2000, a secondhand one, for like $400 or $500. And anyway, you can't touch a scan tool now. They're, you know, I think a low end cost of a scan tool, you might get one that's pretty decent for $2,500, $2,000, maybe $3,000.
Yeah, it's on the low side.
Yeah. The one that I've got right now was $8,000 for mm-hmm. my scanner. It's got lab scope capabilities. I've also got another standalone lab scope that I use. Got my old Allen, we called it the HAL 9000, the old school live scope.
The big sun. The big sun scope.
Well, it's an Allen.
Okay, and, ours is a sun.
You know, the technical data, you used to be able to subscribe for, I don't know, $200 a year and get CDs delivered every couple months, and, you know, for technical data. Now I spend probably $550-$600 a month on just technical data for one station for me.
Yeah.
You know, so the cost of the tools, the expenses of the tools, and the technology, it's just, you know, it's expensive.
It's changed.
And hey, looks like we might have a call on the line here. It's, looks like Eric, are you there?
Howdy.
Hey, good morning.
How are you doing? Hey, Eric. I'm sorry, I kind of jumped the gun here. We're gonna need to take a quick break. Can you hang in there, and then we'll be right back to you.
All right.
Okay, you're in the shop with the other guys. We'll be right back.
Look at them yo-yos. That's the way you do it. Play the guitar on the MTV. That ain't working. That's the way you do it. Money for nothing.
Welcome back to the shop. You're here with the auto guys. I'm Kirk from Angler Automotive and Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive. And thanks for the tunes, man. And we got Eric on the line. Thanks for hanging in there, Eric.
Yep. So I got a little project I'm working on.
Yeah.
I'm doing a kind of engine swap conversion thing on a Toyota. And I'm taking the engine out, the 3.4 V6 from the 97 T100.
Uh-huh.
And I think I want to know what would you recommend I do before I put it in the other vehicle. I'm thinking timing belt, water pump, that kind of stuff. Anything else?
Rear main seal.
Yeah, rear main seal. How many miles are on the engine that you're, you know, the new engine? How many miles, you know?
About 247,000.
That's how many miles are on the engine that you're going to be installing into the other vehicle?
Yes.
Well, I
think honestly, it's worn out?
Well, I'm thinking that's a lot of miles for a, you know, that's a lot of miles.
It's not a lot for a Toyota.
Well, it's not. You know, honestly,
they run forever.
Yes. Well, they do. And honestly, if it was me, I would probably go ahead and pop some head gaskets in that thing while I had the engine out. If you're doing all, I would reseal the entire engine.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, have the valves cleaned up on that thing, you know, have them dressed up, make sure they're happy. You know, I would have the... Well, but then again,
you go doing a
nice tight valve job on the thing, then you're probably going to start burning oil past the rings. The rings are kind of tired on that thing by now.
I'm just a firm believer. Anything that when it's out, anything you can do, I don't know that I'd go as far as to do the head gaskets right now.
I would
do rear main seal that you can't get to. I would do plugs. I would do timing belt, water pump. I would probably have the radiator checked very carefully because it's going to be pretty easy to get out right now.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Hoses, belts, all the simple stuff, plugs, tune-up stuff.
Oil pan, gasket, and then maybe pull the oil pump pickup screen off. I think that thing's got an O-ring on where the oil pump pickup tube hooks to the bottom of the oil pump. And sometimes if it does have an O-ring in there, it's probably hard as a rock right now. It's not rubber anymore. It's plastic, so... Change mm-hmm. that over while you're at it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
It's not a horrible swap. I mean, you're, I mean, obviously doing it off work time, but it doesn't seem like it's a terrible swap to do. So, I mean, anything you can do to save yourself time later, but like on that high miles, I'd be a little leery to pull the heads right now.
Yeah,
I'd run it as long as it runs and then go from there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to be my daily driver. So
right.
It's, you know, not too concerned, I guess, about the mileage. I do a compression check and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, if there's something bad, then maybe address it. But.
Yeah.
All right.
You got it. Hey, good luck with the swap.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it's becoming more and more the, you know, the wrecking yard. I don't know where that engine came from. Might be another car he had, but a lot of the time the wrecking yard engines, I mean, it's if you pull them out and they're low miles, you know, clean them up, do all the stuff that, you know, like on a Subaru, when you pull a motor, there's that little cover on the back that always leaks oil and rear main seal, all that stuff that's going to save you time later. But on a used motor, yeah, I'm a little hard pressed to pull the heads and do that kind of stuff.
Well, at that mileage, yeah, you're right about that. You know, if you had if let's say that motor had 100,000, maybe 140,000 or so, I would recommend, dressing. I would do it. I'd dress the valves at least, and while it was out. But yeah.
I know back
about a Toyota.
Back in the day, I had a little Civic that I bought with a bad motor. I think I bought the car for $75 from Phil.
Perfect.
And friend Harvey saw one get wrecked on the highway, and he called me, and I bought that engine for $100.
You saw one get wrecked on the highway?
Yeah.
But did you pull over and say, hey,
no, the guy wrecked it. He was right there and pulled into Gundy's and asked him about it.
Okay.
So. Anyway, I ended up with that, and I did the timing belt. I mean, when we had it out, I did a couple of the seals, but I wasn't even too picky, and I put that thing together and had it for 6 years and ended up giving it away, and it ran for quite a while.
That's
so
awesome.
I'm a firm believer in just the swap and the easier stuff on the outside that you can change while it's out of the car.
Well, you know, a little bit of a side note, you know, I don't know if anyone's checked out the price of new vehicles lately, but, you know, they're so expensive nowadays. And, you know, it used to be, you know, it's cost effective now to put a new motor, a new transmission, or a new motor and a new transmission into a vehicle that's in really good condition that you really like, rather than go out and spend all the, you know, 30, 40, I don't know, what's a new truck
I've
cost?
Seen,
60, 70, 80.
It depends on what you're buying.
I saw a GM, I think it was a GMC, sitting down on the Toyota lot alongside of Iowa Street a couple weeks ago. They had a price tag of $94,000-something. I'm thinking, what?
That was my first house. That was my first house.
yeah, you know, and so I don't know if it was really going for that price. There was another rig sitting next to it for about 30-some thousand, and maybe they had that 90-some thousand-dollar price tag in there to make you go, what? And go in and ask a question, and then they'll sell you another car kind of thing, get you in the door.
Yeah.
But anyway, so it comes down to, you know, the money you spend on a big repair like that. I think at this point in the game, it actually pencils out to do so.
It does. But, hey, we've got to take another quick break, so we're still taking your calls at 676-5464. You're in the shop. Don't let them fool you. Or even try to school you. Welcome back. You're in the shop with the Auto Guys. I'm Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive, here with Kirk from Angler Automotive. Still taking your calls at 676-5464. If you're just tuning in, we started out with talking about, I guess, our first jobs. That's how we started.
Yeah, now
but anyway, took a couple calls. I'd like to get back to getting into our industry, but it looks like we've got another caller. So let's take our
caller. Larry.
It's Larry. Hey, good morning, Larry.
Yeah, hi. I have a 98 Jeep Grand Cherokee. And you know how over time I've had this thing for 20 years, and the headlights, you know, get fogged up, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, they get hazy, and I thought, I've tried to buff them out at times, and it just doesn't work. I don't spend enough time on them or something. But I thought, well, I'm going to buy some new ones. So I went to the auto guys, or not the auto guys, but the auto parts store.
Sure.
And they gave me a price for $29.95 for one, you know, one side. So the other side would be another set. And so I thought, that's a good deal. I won't be wasting that time. Well, I thought this 1 hour job of changing out these lights would go easy, you know, because nothing's easy to me. Anyway, I'm pretty mechanical. It took me so I get these lights. I thought they were going to have glass lenses, and they didn't. They had plastic lenses again. Yep. And so I said, okay, well, I started putting them in. They were made in Taiwan, and that was my first clue, I guess. It took me 3.5 hours to find out. Well, it took me about 3 hours to find out. Let's go back 2.5 hours. That the plastic connectors, you know, where you plug into the adjusting screws, mm-hmm. you know, you just press them in. Well, these connectors were hard, and they were the wrong size. And finally, after a lot of trial and error, I had to drill out the hole where the little pin goes a little bit. I had to drill it out a little bit so it'd be bigger and I could press it in. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to give a warning to anybody that's thinking they're going to get a good deal by these cheap lights. It wasn't such a good deal. It took me 3.5 hours, 4 hours at the max to adjust the lights and everything after I got them in. And I broke a few little clips, and it was a pain.
No, I agree. I appreciate the call, Larry. That's, I mean, it's a good point when you talk about parts. I mean, you can buy the inexpensive stuff, but there's absolutely a reason it's so inexpensive. Usually it's a fitment. When I was young, I wrecked a Toyota pickup, and I thought, well, I'll just buy an aftermarket fender and I'll put it on. And geez, that fender was, I think it was 6 bolts, and it was super easy to change. And when I got all done, it didn't look anything like the other side. It didn't fit right. It didn't look right. It was tinny. I mean, you could push on it and dent it.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, yeah, the factory replacement stuff is what you have to do. You have to spend the money. Those headlights, when you were talking about them, I would have guessed you were going to spend $100 to $250 for each light.
Wow. If you bought you know, original equipment ones, yeah. A lot of times too, though, if you go to the auto parts store, they do have, they've got their
crash rated.
It's crash rated line.
Yeah,
you know, if you get like a Kappa certified, or you know, some of the, there's different levels of quality that you can buy. A lot of places offer those. One of the things that I have pondered through the years is when, let's say you go to an auto parts store, I'm just going to compare O'Reilly's, AutoZone, and Bellingham Auto Parts. I'm just going to throw this out there. There are three auto stores that are within walking distance of each other. And I think that kind of the sales mentality for this whole thing is that when somebody comes in on a Saturday, I'm just going to say Saturday, looking for a part, you know, for a price on a part, they're going to give you the best price part, you know, that they've got.
Yeah.
Because they know you can walk, you know, in the case of AutoZone and O'Reilly's, across the park alley, and you can go shop the other place. And so if you are going to go into the aftermarket stores, say, you know, I want something really good. I want your best, whatever you've got. And, you know, they'll kick you up or ask them the options that you've got of whatever part you're going to buy, and go that route, because the aftermarket stores do sell some good quality stuff, you know. And I do prefer, though, when it comes to lenses, and especially if there's going to be sockets involved in electrical components, buying original equipment stuff, because I don't know. It just seems like it's better, except for if you're on a Fiat or something like that.
I'd also be interested to see how long the plastic on those lights hold up.
Yeah, I'm going to give you 8 months on it. 8 months.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just got tired of buffing and trying to buff out the haze, you know?
Totally agree with you.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much. Just tip to the other listeners. Don't go cheap, and because everything else looked really good and worked fine, except these little 3 points that had extra hard plastic, and I had to end up drilling out the little plastic hole a little bit bigger so it would snap into place.
Yep.
Nope. We appreciate it, Larry. Have a great weekend. Thanks for the call. You got a. Looks like you might have another.
I think so. Do a break first. We got to do a break.
Oh, okay. So we've got to take a quick break, and then we've got our next caller. Yeah. So you're in the shop. This must be referring to aftermarket headlights. We're not going to take them anymore. Welcome back. You're in the shop with the Auto Guys. I'm Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive, here with Kirk from Angler. Shout out to our co-hosts, Brian and Steve, who are probably out enjoying the weather. They're probably both working in the yard. That's my guess.
I'll bet Brian's working on his boat, getting it all ready to go catch some shrimp.
Yeah, Steve might be riding the motorcycle.
I would be if
he should be. He should be. Yeah. So we're taking your calls, and we've got a couple patient guys on the phone. We've got Ray on the phone. Good morning, Ray.
Yes, good morning.
What can we do for
are you? There?
We
yes.
are.
Oh, I have an '09 Toyota Highlander family car, and for the past year and a half, we've had a very audible clunk when we're backing out of our parking space onto our driveway, either right or left, turning the wheels right or left. It's on an incline as we're backing up, and it's also a diagonal sort of incline as well. And I've had it into two different shops, and they were unable to reproduce this, so it's been a quandary, and I wanted to ask your opinion. But this we're obviously concerned about safety and also preventative maintenance.
Mm-hmm. When I hear a clunk like that, I'm instantly going towards suspension. So I mean, I would think possibly a sway bar, rear sway bar, or a strut, maybe a strut mount or a shock. Have you had the suspension all checked out?
They've had it up on the rack in both shops.
How many miles are on your Highlander, Ray?
Oh, 87,000 plus.
Okay. Is this coming? Does it sound like the front, the back? I'm sorry, I didn't catch that part.
It does sound as if it's coming from the front.
Okay.
And we have a fairly sharp turn to get out of the parking space.
Are you turning
either going right or left?
Okay. Are you turning? I mean, are you hard over left or right? As far as when you're making that turn,
it's a pretty hard turn. I also have noted it on a flat surface as well, and with a lesser sharpness of the turn.
Okay. Well, I'm wondering, like, if you, if let's say you're turning the wheel basically as far as you can turn the wheel to make your turn. There's a couple of wear spots or turn stops that need to be lubricated on those. Probably the only thing on the front suspension. And if wherever you're getting your oil changes done. And lube services, if they're not putting a little dab of grease onto those areas, there's a lot of pressure on those things if you're full turns to the stop, and that might be enough to give you a little bump right there. I'm just saying it might be that simple.
Yeah.
And You know, I would say, you know, if you knew where to look, I guess you'd probably look it up on the internet, or, you know, next time you have it into a shop to have a service done on it, just a light service, just make sure they put a little dab of grease on those things and see if it goes away.
What are you referring to?
Well, I call it the turn stopper.
And that is located where?
Up in the front on the lower part of the control arm. Mm-hmm. Lower part of the knuckle there.
You'll actually, if you have the wheel turned all the way out, you can actually see where it sweeps against it.
Yeah.
Toyota used to make rubber caps went over that, and they would tear off as soon as, or plastic caps. Yeah, they would tear off as soon as you put them on, but I know which spot you're talking about
as well.
So
that's one thing I always do, and, you know, not a lot of people, you know, I can tell how hard people are turning their cars by when I'm doing a service. I look up and see how worn out those contact areas are. And more times than not, when I get a new customer and I'm doing a service on their rig, those turn stoppers are just bone dry, rusty looking, scraped up, you know. So I always put a little grease on my finger and give it a little wipe. You probably even use a little nose oil and do it, just something to lubricate that up. And it might be that easy. I would actually certainly look at that before I get too crazy about replacing expensive front end components.
Yes, that's what I was concerned about, but also if it's perhaps a safety issue.
Well, no, if it's what I'm thinking, it might be. It's just an annoyance. But, you know, so if you get that checked out, and if somebody puts some grease on those things and it actually repairs it, can you call us back someday? Because it would be really good for my ego if I found out that I just saved you a couple $1,000.
Yes, that would be nice for my ego, too. yes, and it does happen when it's on a cooler, in a cooler situation.
Well,
it happens every time, but more so when it's cold.
Right. Hmm. Well, you know, I would say that's what I would look at first. And, you know, if it's only when you're making those tight turns, especially if you've got the wheel turned as far as it'll go, you know, those things are contact and guaranteed. And if they're dry, they're going to bind, especially as you transition from your, you know, the incline to the street. There's going to be some twist of the vehicle a little bit, and you might be getting a pop. I bet I'm right. I'll bet you 75 cents I'm right.
That's why I was wondering about the strut,
if that might be the issue.
It might be.
I mean, that's something to look at. I mean, the bearing plate.
I would try some grease first.
Yeah, try the easy one first.
Grease, even cooking a little bit of Crisco or something, anything.
Well,
spit on it.
I'm just about due for a lube, and so I'll mention that I should have them to put a little lube on the turn stop.
Yeah,
yep. Perfect.
Yeah. Or make sure they do.
You got it, and call because Kirk will be patiently waiting.
I would love to hear it.
Perfect.
All right. Well, I appreciate your advice.
Thanks for the call, Ray. Hey, we've got Chris on the line as well. Good morning, Chris.
I just would like to know about thinking about buying a Buick Sentra, Buick LeSabre, the late 90s to 2000s, 2001. They seem to come up around 100,000 miles, and I'm just curious, are those good cars? What goes wrong with them when they start hitting those kind of miles?
Well, it's a 3.8, correct?
Yeah. I mean... My wife's mom had one, and we really liked that car. And man, it got good mileage on the highway.
Actually, I have to admit, I think those are great cars. I think they hold up great. I know they had some coolant issues. I would be looking, pop the radiator cap, see what it looks like in there. That led to intake manifold issues, but those cars are all over the place. I mean, I actually have one in the shop right now that it's just amazing how long they last.
They do, and driving down the freeway, it's like you're sitting on your sofa
in
your house watching a TV show. They're just cushy and smooth, and
yeah,
they're some of the best cars, I think.
Yeah, it seems to be a good one. The reason you see them at 100,000 miles is because in those years, that's when everything's due. So it's probably due for a full tune-up. It's, yeah, quite a bit of just routine maintenance. But that car, I wouldn't bet against it. I'd have it checked out, make sure you didn't get the coolant poisoning. But other than that, they seem to be pretty solid.
Yeah, they were replacing intake manifolds. They had some weird plastic stuff that was leaking O-rings and EGR crossovers and yada, yada, yada. But, it's, I don't know what it costs to replace those now, $500-700. But Dan's, I would say coolant stuff. The radiator, probably plugged up by now, even at 100,000 miles, yep, if it's 20 years old. So, they're great cars.
Well, like we felt like we were going to get a couple lazy boys to go down the highway.
Yeah, well,
that's pretty
exactly
much what
it you're
is.
Getting. Yeah. No, they're comfortable. I'd get it checked out just because of that coolant issue they had in those years. But otherwise, they've been pretty solid cars.
Yep.
Yeah, and her mom had both cars, had both those problems, the coolant and the manifold, mm-hmm, but she just had some work done on it, and I don't know if it had around 200,000 or whatever, but she actually gave it to somebody, and as far as I know, they're still driving it. But anyway, thank you.
You're got welcome. It. Have a great day. Thanks, Chris.
Looks like we might need to take a break.
We do. We need to take a break. You're in the shop with the Auto Guys. Welcome back. You're in the shop with the Auto Guys. I'm Dan from Bellingham and Burlington Automotive, here with Kirk from Engler Automotive. And start of the show, we started talking about tools needed, and Kirk wanted to go on that a little bit more, a little off topic, I believe.
Well, a little bit, not too
That's
much.
That's all right.
You know, basically, tools are really expensive.
They are.
our industry, auto repair, we've got a shortage of good technicians out there.
Absolutely.
So anyone that's got any some mechanical aptitude, a young person, even an old person that's like 30, mm-hmm, or 50, whatever, it doesn't matter. It's a good industry to get into. I think the median income for a technician, a journeyman technician in Washington State's around, what, 60 grand or
60
something
to
like
70
that.
70, right in there.
And, I know a few techs that are making over 100 grand a year.
Yep.
And, they've been doing it for a long time. But, they've got all the tooling. They're just really good at what they do. There's a good, you can make a decent living doing this job. Actually, I make less as an owner than I make as a technician.
They all do.
But nonetheless,
And we have an amazing school here for it.
Dan Beeson down there is, I'm going to say he's a rocket scientist working on automobiles.
He is.
And,
when he retires, I want to hire
so
him.
Full of stuff, of car stuff, good stuff, each day. Kudos to those guys. But anyway, so if you're looking for a good career, do it and put a lot of emphasis in electronics, but there's a lot of nuts and bolts that you got to do too. So, the first couple of years is going to be rough because you got a lot of tools. You got about a massive, you're never going to stop buying tools. Mm-hmm. And even when you think you got it all, the Snap-on guy rolls in and he's like, "Hey, check this out.
Like, this
Whoa,
is what you need now."
Came up with that idea, So anyway,
so you're keeping an eye out for another one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I'd like to find a good technician.
And I'd like to add one in each shop. I'd like to
in my shop.
No, in my shops.
I should just come to work for you guys.
I'll hire you.
I can come in as a service advisor. I'll work from 10 to 2, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday, and I get all the vacations and holidays and stuff.
That shift is full. I've got it.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Right. Okay. So hey, I just wanted to send a shout out to a guy named Scott and Kalen. Mm-hmm. Hi, Scott. Is
Showtime.
Also known as the Dent Doctor, but the Showtime Paintless Dent Repair. And the reason, and this kind of ties into why you shouldn't work on your own cars, or let's say, put it this way, if you're going to work on your own car, make sure you fix it. Rather than work on your car, not have it work, and then bring it to the shop.
Yeah.
Because more times than not, once somebody's been in there doing stuff, first of all, when they're trying to explain the problem, you can't get a straight answer from them because they're telling you all the things that they've done. And all you want to know is, why did you bring the car to me? Anyway, long story short, I was checking some suspension stuff on Honda Odyssey 2 weeks ago. Thank goodness it was a friend of mine's car. And what I do is I'll back up to the car, and I kind of grab the under the fender well, and I, you know, kind of lift up and down backwards, you know, with the thing. Well, I did that on the left rear, right front, go over to the left front fender, and I grabbed it, and I just barely leaned back, and my butt touched the fender, and dink, put a dent in the fender. And it's like, oh, my, I mean, like a 2-inch dent in the fender. And I'm like, oh, man. Oh, I can pound that out. So I got out Jenny there with Craig, my old ancient iron hammer and rubber hammer and just made a mess of the fender.
Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, oh, great, I'm going to buy a guy a new fender and paint job. So I called Scott at Showtime Paintless Dent Repair, and he came over and put a couple of lights on the front of the thing, and he's got a teeny little hammer and these teeny little, like, lockpick tools.
It's just, it's magic. It's magic that he does.
Tink, 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 and he was over there tink, tink, tinking for a couple of hours. And I swear to God, I put a dent in the seam, in the crease. It looks perfect.
Yep.
I mean, absolutely perfect. So,
shout out to Scott.
I would have saved $100 or more if I wouldn't have tried to fix it myself.
Hey, thanks for joining us. You've been in the shop. Have a great weekend.